The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 24th day of April 2023. And tonight we have as our producer there on the board, none other than the very, very capable Craig Z.
Good evening, everybody. April's almost over.
Yep, I know. Time is moving. When you get our age, you're going to find out how fast time really does move.
Yep.
Believe me, it's hard for a young fellow like you to know, but believe me, you'll get here, Lord's willing.
No, I get it. I'm almost 30.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you. All righty. Now, we have our longtime co-host way out yonder in Missouri, none other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
I'm still here, still working, and still highly unpaid.
And like a rose amongst the thorns here live in the studio tonight, we have our ministry nurse, and she is with Wealth and Wellness, Integrative Health Consultant, means she takes care of me when I get sick, and none other than Elaine Conley.
Good evening, everybody.
There you go. All righty. So it's good to have you here tonight, and let's be nice to her, Joe, okay?
Aren't we always?
Yeah, okay.
You're nice to the ladies, it's just everybody else you give a hard time.
All righty. I got to turn my volume. How's your volume?
Mine's fine.
Okay, because mine was a little low. All right, I had to turn it up a little bit tonight. Now, let me see. Where am I at? Oh, okay, Joe, do you remember the title of the message?
The title, Satan Seats Today.
Satan
Seats.
It's
kind of an unusual title, but I imagine once you explain it, it'll make a lot of sense.
Well, let me explain that to you then. Satan's seat. Well, if we look over in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, he talks about Satan's seat, and that's the altar of Zeus in Pergamos. It was the altar of Zeus, and it was the world's largest sacrificial altar. And something about that, you see, a duplicate of that very altar, Joe, had been set up in Germany for years. And back when Barack Obama, when he was about to take office during his coronation, if you will, he had that brought from Germany all the way over here to Colorado. I believe it was in Denver. You might remember, Joe, he had it set up, and he came out, and he had those two flunky generals with him. And as he stood out there at this altar of Zeus, Satan's seat, and he started to wax eloquently, fly kept landing on his lip.
Mm-hmm.
And he would knock that fly away, and the fly would come.
Would not leave him.
you saw that too, huh?
That.
Yeah.
Yep, I sure did.
And I'm looking at that, and as soon as I saw that, I heard the words Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, you know, and Beelzebub's a name for the devil.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then a rat, you know, all this money and time they spent, a rat runs right across, right in front of him. And I'm thinking, boy, you know, if this is not appropriate, if this is, you know, if the Lord don't have a sense of humor, I mean, because Barack Obama really, really loved Barack Obama. Okay.
Yo, does he ever?
And so
I'm the one I've been waiting for. I mean, who would say something like that other than the most egotistical person in the world? I'm the one I've been waiting for. I'm the one you've been waiting for.
Yeah, I remember that. But no, it's not. That. It's what he. It's he didn't say it that way. Now, see, there was a message, an esoteric message. If you remember that, he goes,
"Yes,
I am. I am is a name for God."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then he says, "The one. I am the one.
The one. Yeah.
That you have been waiting for." He was just telling you he's the Messiah. That's what he was telling you. I am the one that I've been waiting for. But I want to read.
Telling he was lying to me because I know better.
Yeah, well, you know, that went right over the head. And as he said that, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm just wondering, you know, how many people, what percentage of people understand what they just heard?
Very few. And, you know, he did that more than once as far as insulting the intelligence of the American people, and it went right over their heads.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Because
he also was the one that said something about us out here in the flyover zone clinging to our guns and Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I have a Bible in one hand and a gun in the other, and I'm not a clinger.
All righty.
I'm a fighter.
Just make sure you don't read the gun and shoot the Bible.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, let's get it done. Let's start. Let's take it a verse at a time. Revelation 2. Let's start. Read verse 7.
Verse 7?
Yeah, we're going to start with verse 7.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Now, here, let's take a look at that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, it's an interesting thing because he had an individual message for each as he addressed each church, but the message to each church was meant to be heard by all the churches.
All churches, yeah.
Now, he says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, that, first of all, the tree of life was found in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. But the Garden of Eden on earth was formed after the Garden of Eden in heaven. And heaven is the original Garden of Eden. And so here, when he's referring to that, that's where the tree of life is. So let me ask you this. Who is it? Who is it that is that overcomes? He says, to he that is overcome. Who is it that overcomes?
Born again believers who stay true to God.
All born again believers is what he's referring to. So if you're saved, you've already overcome, huh?
Right. You've overcome the world and sin and death.
Okay.
Because you're now a child of the kingdom.
Read verse 8.
And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive.
So let me ask you this. Who is the angel of the church in Smyrna?
The pastor.
That's right. He's talking about the pastor. The word angelus there meant messenger. Do we have any other situations where here he's calling a man an angel? Are there any situations where angels are referred to as men? Daniel referred to Gabriel as the man Gabriel.
The man, that's right, because he was in human form.
Yeah, and he wasn't a man like us, though. But anyhow.
No. If you read a description of some of those angels, not at all like us, no.
Well, Smyrna was a port city. It was about 35 miles north of Ephesus. Today, it's in Turkey. It's called Izmir. There was a very, very famous Christian that was martyred there, a guy named Polycarp. Have you heard of him?
Long time ago.
He sat directly, Polycarp sat directly under the tutor of the Apostle John.
John.
Yeah. and he was the pastor there. Polycarp was the pastor there until in Smyrna until they killed him. And so here
he was a martyr.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Read verse 9.
I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
So, I know thy works and thy tribulations and poverty, but there were a couple classes of people there that he was referring to. One, the Judaizers that were professing Jews, that said they were Jews, but they were the seed, but not the children of Abraham. In other words, they were Jews in the flesh, but not in the spirit.
Spirit, right.
And so here, but there were another group there that he was dealing with at that time, and that was Gentiles that had decided to convert to Judaism and try to combine law and grace. And it wasn't working out.
They were trying to combine Judaism and Christianity, and you can't do it.
No, it didn't work out too well. So now,
no.
Let me look at this again. I know thy works and the tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. What made them rich?
Their faith. Those that were there were faithful and strong in faith.
Okay. So now, for those that...
I mean, they've earned everlasting life. They've become born again, so they are rich because they have joint heirs with Jesus with their inheritance.
Okay, so does George Soros have enough money to buy salvation?
No.
No.
What about
even make a down payment.
What about Bill Gates?
Nope.
Elon Musk?
No.
Put them all together, they still couldn't make a down payment.
Not even for like a minute of salvation?
No.
Right? Okay. So here now, the richness...
That is worthless to God. All their money is worthless because, well, everything belongs to him in the first place.
So what is it that we will have in eternity in heaven that they could never afford to buy on earth?
Well, that's we will have peace, joy, and everlasting life with living with the Savior, with our Messiah.
All right. Okay, so now here he says, I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Turn over to Romans chapter 9, and I think what we'll do a little more than I had. Let's go to Romans 9, and let's read, we'll read verses 1 through 8, okay?
1 through 8, okay.
Yeah, just go ahead to Romans 9, 1 through 8.
I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Okay, so Paul is saying, look, He would rather go to hell. He'd rather, if that would keep in the place of his kinsmen, his fellow Jews, those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, if he could, he would take their place in hell. But he's saying, he goes on to say how that these were indeed the children in the flesh of Abraham, but they were not or not the children, that they were the seed, the flesh of Abraham, but not the children. The children, we know, were those that would receive...
spiritual children.
Right, they would receive Christ as their Savior. Now, so those that were of the seed but not children, they were not the children of Abraham. Whose children were they? Let's go over. I'm going to jump over here. Let me jump.
Children of Satan.
Right. Let's jump over to John. I'm going to go there to John chapter 8, starting with verse 39. John 8, verse 39. And they answered and they said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. What was the esoteric message there?
Well, we weren't the children of sin. We were the appointed anointed ones.
What did the Jews say about the birth of Jesus, about his mother being pregnant without ever, not by the father, that she was
a bastard child.
Yeah. Okay. So they were, there was an esoteric message, and Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the very beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So, Joe, let me go back. Who do we have today? If I was to say to you today, Eileen, tell me about who do we have to say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan? If I were to say Chucky Schumer, what would you say? He wears his little yarmulke, don't he?
I don't really know that much about him. I just know he's evil.
Well, he claims to be a good Jew.
Well, right. The claim is not there.
Well, now, you know this one here, George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
He claims to be a good Jew. What about Mark Zuckerberg? Marky Zuckerberg? What about Hillary Clinton? Hillary Rosen. Not Rodham, but her real name is Rosen.
Rosen was the original, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You think she's a Jew or a
synagogue? She exhibits satanic behavior.
What about Wesley Clark? Wesley General Clark? He was on C-SPAN one time I was listening. He thought the program was over. You know how when they have a program, you see the people gathering, they're talking? Well, the mics were still hot. He didn't realize it, and he's talking to these women, and he's telling them, "My real name is Cain. I'm a Jew."
Yep.
Yeah, and I think, boy, he's a Jew with the name of Cain. You know, where have I heard that name before?
Right.
Before, yeah.
Right.
What about, here's one that's two famous ones, very famous. Ready? John Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
What's his real name? Cohen. And he changed it so his initials would be JFK.
Okay.
What about this one? This is probably one of the most famous of them all. Ready? Jeffrey Epstein.
Correct.
Now, you think is he of the synagogue of Satan?
Yes.
Yes, I would say so. And so, anyhow.
One thing, if we got time, all through this, we have to remember that the Father is Spirit. The Son, the only begotten, the physical, came forth from the spiritual Father. And everything that's important is that which is spiritual, because spiritual reigns over the physical. It's our spiritual soul that the Lord's concerned with, that has everlasting life, that'll be given the new glorified body. Everything that is evil and earthly is the physical flesh. And all through, Jesus is trying to get across that everything that's important is the Spirit of God. The Spirit, you know, is your spirit. And too many times that is not talked about, preached. And I just want to make sure we got that in, because everything centers around that, right?
Well, yeah. It's an interesting thing, because today, if you talk about, there are those today in what they call the Orthodox Church, and all the emphasis is on God the Father, okay? With the Amish, it's that way. With us, with the unregistered New Testament fundamentalists, with the fundamentalists, the emphasis, for the most part, is upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer, okay? With the Pentecostals, the Charismatic, the emphasis is mostly on the Holy Spirit. Everything's about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But the main thing is that, you know, they're all connected. When you've seen one, you've seen them all. It's part of it. And although we, you know, we teach the entire Word of God. But now, I want to go back over here to verse 10. Go ahead and read me verse 10.
In what, John or in Romans?
No, Revelation 9. Chapter 2. We're back to Revelation.
Back to Revelation, okay. Verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Okay, so 10 days. The 10 days, that number 10 is a number for completion. But it was a biblical principle that meant that to sustain believers, for a period of times. And in fact, if you take a look at that, let's go over to Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 1. And in Daniel chapter 1,
12 through 15?
Yeah, well, 12 through 16, actually, yeah.
Okay. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this manner, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse.
All right, so Melzar was the prince of the eunuchs, okay?
Right.
And his job was to make sure to take care, because Nebuchadnezzar had taken a liking to Daniel and the Hebrew boys. And here, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't have a sense of humor. And he didn't, for him to be, people to reject his table. You know, this is the king's table. I mean, you got the best of everything here. And for them to reject the king's table. And by the way, pulse simply means vegetables. That's what pulse means, vegetables. Okay. So here now, why would not Daniel and the Hebrew boys, why wouldn't they want to partake of the king's table? I mean, he had all kinds of venison and beef and deer and everything there. Why wouldn't they take part of it?
It was sacrificed to idols.
Right, wine. And the same thing with the wine. And so would they have actually died before they would have taken part of it? They would have actually rather died than to take part of that table. And so they refused to do it. And this is why it was
a
form.
They would have starved themselves to death rather than eat the tarnished food.
So for 10 days, they were under a testing in a period. Now, today, very quickly, because we're coming to a break, if we were, say, today, what do we see? Who can we compare this to? What about January 6th, all the Christian patriots who were arrested and put under a times of trial, and they're still being tried right now, are they not?
Right. They're still being held without bail. They're still being held in horrible conditions. They're not being fed well, given medicine, doctors, visits, all kinds of things.
All righty. Well, listen, we got to go to a break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Some city schoolyards, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America.
We're doing the best we can, and that's the goal, to take America back for God. Amen. He gave it to us, one nation under God, and we want to give it back. Do you hear that, Joe Obama, Biden? You hear that? We're going to take America back, and we're going to have the legitimate president back in office. The legitimate. You are not, Joe. Alrighty. Let's see. We have a pretty smart woman right here, Elaine Conley, and she's been, become quite a demand to come speak in here and there, and she's going to be talking about at a town hall meeting with a bunch of other pretty smart people there coming up very quick. So, Elaine, tell us about it, because we're going to stop the child mutilation. We've got to stop it, don't we?
Yes, we do, Pastor. It's being put on by the Ohio Freedom Fighters and the Committee for Child Safety this Wednesday evening on the 26th at 7 p.m. in Medina, Ohio. For those individuals that are in Northeast Ohio, if you give me a call, I'll give you my phone number. It's 440-478-4073. That's 440-478-4073. I'll give you the location. Jonas Schultz, who previously ran for House of Representatives in the state of Ohio last year, and he did lose, is going to be moderating a panel that is comprised of Representative Jennifer Gross, who is our current state representative, District 45, who is representing the conservatives very nicely in the state of Ohio. John Hagan, who serves presently on the Ohio Board of Education. He's also a former state rep. Dr. Mary Malik, who is a clinical psychologist. Dr. Janet Levitin, a pediatrician. And then myself, representing Northeast Ohio Hugs Over Masks, American Frontline Nurses Group. And then also Dr. McCullough's Alliance Frontline COVID-19. We recently added just another state representative, Beth Lear, L-E-A-R, and she is a state representative for District 61. What we're going to have is some prearranged questions related to transgender atrocities that are going on across the country. And here in the state of Ohio, we have the same thing going on with the left fighting the conservatives. This is about people going after our children. What I'm relating to people is that you have to make a very wise decision here as to whether you're going to go along with man's word or God's word as your worldview. We know that homosexuality and transgenderism is a sin, and they are the children are the main target. Across the country, in some of the states, they are putting bills in to be voted on by their constituents, authorizing the hiding of children, information seeking transgender medical intervention from parents. Here in Cleveland, Ohio, Parma Hospital, that I used to work at as a registered nurse, is now the center for transgender surgeries for the UH system here in Cleveland. I encourage people that live in Parma to call and let your voices be known. In another state, House representatives are passing bills to ban transgender athletes in women and girls' sports, so they're fighting along the sports line. The main thing is that we're living in a very fallen, evil, and distorted, perverse world. And so God is our Savior here, and we're going up against with him, against the individuals that are have this distorted genetic belief, and they're mixing it all with the social issues. In some respects, they are losing some of their more moderate believers because of what they're doing and going after the children very blatantly. Also, at this town hall, there'll be some pointed questions about how did this all start, where is it coming from, etc. And, you know, this didn't just start yesterday. This goes back to the takeover of the United States by communism and Marxism and the indoctrination of our schools. There have been indoctrination going on in the school system for over 50 years. And the targeting of the three-year-olds and the four-year-olds have just become more blatant. And then there'll be a period of question and answer, you know, for the audience that is in attendance. But we are basically drawing a crowd because we want people to learn how to be more active in the community and to take up the fight on a local and community level. There's no reason why you cannot make an appointment with your mayor, with your city council members, your representatives, and let your voices be heard, because the Constitution is a God-given right.
All right. Very, very good. So, not only that, but do we have an? Are we obligated by God to stand against this?
Oh, most certainly. Alrighty, you have to decide your line in the sand.
You've had 20 states, and I understand one more has come across from what I heard, So 21 states that have outlawed this. Now in Ohio, we've got to do a couple of things. One, we've got to stop, or pass legislation to make it. We have to have 60% of the vote to be able to change the Constitution, because they want to amend our Constitution. The Democrats have gotten totally wicked, evil. And then we want to pass the women's protection legislation here in Ohio. So
correct.
I've already done a couple of programs. We're going to probably do some more, but we really need to do that. So these people, when you see these people out there that are going out there trying to get enough signatures to go on the ballots, folks, if you're listening to me, go over there and just start witnessing to them. Preach them. Tell them about, preach them heaven sweet hell hot. What they're doing is putting them on a fast track. They are dishonoring, and they're committing high treason against God and against the country. So when you see these wicked people right there in Burton, right at the corners of 87 and Route 44, the Democratic Communist Party headquarters, they call it Democratic. These are the Communist Party headquarters where every kind of perversion, every kind of sick perversion is allowed there. And those people have their, they have their little ballots out front. They have a little stand out there where they're looking to get signatures to promote every kind of ungodliness, every kind of evil, child perversion, abortion. If God's word, the Bible calls it a sin, these wicked, evil, ungodly, unclean Democrats are promoting it.
And they're standing outside the big box stores. And their line is, will you sign my petition for the state of Ohio to protect children's rights? So yeah. Bottom line is, if you see somebody with a clipboard, grab the clipboard and see what's written there.
Yeah, take a look at it. These people are liars, and tell them right out front, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. And there you go. And so, and you know, you'd never get one of them to come on here and sit against across from me.
No, because they can't defend their perverse beliefs.
No, I know. Already. Well, you know what? Did you hear that Tucker Carlson is no longer, Fox has canned Tucker Carlson. Now, Tucker made a big mistake. He told the truth. Too much truth. You see, Fox doesn't, you know, they can handle a little bit, but they just had to pay off their payoff. Remember when the government was paying these stations not to talk about the election fraud?
Right.
And, you know, Fox took their money. Fox got their money, okay? And they were not supposed to say anything about Dominion. And so they did, though, even after they took the money, agreeing not to. Well, they settled out of court because they didn't want the whole story to come out. And they paid, it was an outrageous amount, $700-something million. But, you know, that's really just for a multi-billion dollar corporation. That's a drop in the bucket. But Tucker Carlson, he told too much of the truth. So I don't know if I'm going to watch Fox News anymore. I really think I'm just going to have to go.
I stopped watching even Tucker a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, he was still, yeah.
Just because of who owns it. All right. And bottom line is, you know, even Tucker no longer had
Dinesh D'Souza.
D'Souza on once, you know, he published and got things out in the open.
Yeah. He wasn't allowed to have him on.
No, he wasn't. But what I'm saying is he used to have him on every night, and all of a sudden he's gone.
Well, they made him stop. Okay.
Right, I understand.
And, you know, remember, in fact, Dinesh D'Souza, when he first got started, his very early, we had him on our radio program. He got his start right here with us. Okay. And so, anyhow. Yeah, I think I'm gonna just boycotting Fox News. Okay,
You got to go to the other right-sided broadcasting and some of the other independent stations that are not tied in.
Alrighty, let's play that clip. Here was a clip of Tucker Carlson his last big speech that he gave.
It might be time to start to reassess the terms we use to describe what we're watching. So when I started at Heritage, the presumption was, and this is a very Anglo-American assumption, that the debates we're having are kind of rational debates about the way to get to mutually agreed upon outcomes. Right? So like we all want the country to be more prosperous and free and people to be less oppressed or whatever. And so we're going to argue about tax rates. And I think higher tax gets us there. I'm a Keynesian and you disagree, you're an Austrian or whatever. But the objective is the same. And so we write our papers, and they write their papers, and may the best papers win. I don't think that's what we're watching now at all. I don't think we're watching a debate over how to get to the best outcome. I think that's completely wrong. And I've come to this conclusion, not, and I should say at the outset, I'm an Episcopalian, so don't take any theological advice from me, because I don't have any. I grew up in the shallowest faith tradition that's ever been invented. It's not even a Christian religion at this point. I say with shame. But I'm just saying this as an observer of what's going on. There is no way to assess, say, the transgenderist movement with that mindset. Policy papers don't account for it at all. If you have people who are saying, I have an idea, let's castrate the next generation. Let's sexually mutilate children. I'm sorry, that's not a political debate. What? It has nothing to do with politics. What's the outcome we're desiring here? An androgynous population? Is that really what we are? Are we arguing for that? I don't think anyone could like defend that as a positive outcome. But the weight of the government and a lot of corporate interests are behind that. Well, what is that? Well, it's irrational. If you say, well, I think abortion is always bad. Well, I think sometimes it's necessary. That's a debate I'm familiar with. But if you're telling me that abortion is a positive good, what are you saying? Well, you're arguing for child sacrifice, obviously. It's not about a teen girl gets pregnant and what do we do about that and victims of rape. I get it. Of course I understand that. And I have compassion for everyone involved. But when the Treasury Secretary stands up and says, you know what you can do to help the economy? Get an abortion. Well, that's like an Aztec principle, actually. There's not a society in history that didn't practice human sacrifice. Not one. I checked. Even the Scandinavians, I'm ashamed to say. It wasn't just the Mesoamericans. It was everybody. So, that's what that is. Well, what's the point of child sacrifice? Well, there's no policy goal entwined with that. No, that's a theological phenomenon. And that's kind of the point I'm making. None of this makes sense in conventional political terms. When people or crowds of people, or the largest crowd of people at all, which is the federal government, the largest human organization in human history, decide that the goal is to destroy things, destruction for its own sake. Hey, let's tear it down. What you're watching is not a political movement. It's evil. So if you want to assess, non-specific theological terms, and just say, if you want to know what's evil and what's good, what are the characteristics of those? And by the way, I think the Athenians would have agreed with this. This is not necessarily just a Christian notion. This is kind of a widely agreed upon understanding of good and evil. What are its products? What do these two conditions produce? Well, good is characterized by order, calmness, tranquility, peace, whatever you want to call it, lack of conflict, cleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's true. It is. And evil is characterized by their opposites. Violence, hate, disorder, division, disorganization, and filth. So if you are all in on the things that produce the latter basket of outcomes, what you're really advocating for is evil. That's just true. I'm not calling for a religious war, far from it. I'm merely calling for an acknowledgement of what we're watching, which is not what, and I'm not certainly not backing the Republican Party. I'm not making a partisan point at all. I'm just noting what's super obvious. Those of us who are in our mid-50s are caught in the past in the way that we think about this. One side's like, no, I've got this idea, and we've got this idea, and let's have a debate about our ideas. They don't want a debate. Those ideas won't produce outcomes that any rational person would want under any circumstances. Those are manifestations of some larger force acting upon us. It's just so obvious. It's completely obvious. And I think two things. One, we should say that and stop engaging in these totally fraudulent debates where we are using the terms that we used in 1991 when I started at Heritage, as if maybe, you know, I could just win the debate if I marshaled more facts. I've tried that. Doesn't work. And two, maybe we should all take just like 10 minutes a day to say a prayer about it. I'm serious. Like, why not? And I'm saying that to you not as some kind of evangelist. I'm literally saying that to you as an Episcopalian, the Samaritans of our time. I'm coming to you from the most humble and lowly theological position you can. I'm literally an Episcopalian, okay? And even I have concluded it might be worth taking just 10 minutes out of your busy schedule to say a prayer for the future, and I hope you will.
All righty, going back, a good point. The Episcopalian, they have totally apostatized. I don't know, between United Church of the Antichrist, which headquarters is right here in Cleveland, the Episcopalians, or the Pilgrim, I don't know, which is the worst. I think they've all hit the rock bottom. There's no place to go.
Well, I think they have some gay pastors, too.
Well, mostly all now, yeah. Well, the Episcopal Church, they had a witch, as their leader for a while. And, of course, the United Church of the Antichrist was all sodomites, lesbians. Okay, they're most, and same thing with the Pilgrim Church mm-hmm. out there today. So these are not Christian churches, but they're very far from Christian churches. Joe, you had a piece you wanted to say here before we go to break.
Well, it was just one comment. Glenn Beck said something about he and Tucker had become good friends, and he said, hopefully I'll be able to talk with him today. I don't know what the situation is, but Tucker, come to Jamaica. We would love to have you here. You won't miss a beat, and together the two of us would tear it up, just tear it up. So he's already got a job offer from Glenn Beck. Come and work with Glenn Beck. I thought it was kind of clever.
I think he's going to
get her.
I think firing Tucker, this is on top of, they just fired Joe Bongino, Bongino last week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
Fox is going to regret it. I think their viewership's going to go down in the toilet. They'll probably stay, but they're not going to have the ratings they've had.
No,
they're going to be like CNN Plus.
Are going to leave.
Yeah, that's already happening.
Their business is going to tank.
Yeah, they're going to tank, and they're already feeling it. And it's who's going to stay with them. I can see some of them actually want to jump ship already, but. Well, I think by firing Tucker, that'll do them as much good as Queer Beer has done for Anheuser-Busch.
Oh, yeah. They've lost so much money.
$7 billion.
And people aren't going back to them.
Yeah, and they're not going back their sales on Bud Lighter. They're in the toilet, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A lot of things have happened. You had, remember one of the very woke Bed Bath & Beyond, woke, boy, they came out. They've gone into bankruptcy. And
they got rid of the MyPillow guy because he was too religious, and they didn't want to advertise or carry his products, and now they're out of business. I thought, hey, that's wonderful. Don't support a Christian businessman who writes a book about salvation, and the next thing you go out of business.
And Wally Mart, big box, who gave Burn, Loot, and Murder $300 million to Burn, Loot, and Murder. Well, Wally Mart's closing stores all over the place.
In the big cities where the crime and theft is skyrocketing. Yeah.
And
I want to back up, though, when Elaine was talking. I found an article I thought was fascinating. You remember way back years ago, you and I are good at that, we remember back when the American Psychiatric Association said sodomy was a mental illness, remember?
Yeah, homosexuality was a form of mental illness, absolutely, yeah.
And no, they removed that back in, either it was 84 or 94.
Lobbying the doctors and the psychologists and psychologists, and all of a sudden, after enough money was spent, it became something other than a mental illness. Well, the same thing with this psychological transformation. There are a couple of doctors who are telling the truth, have been telling the truth, and they say most male-to-female transgender cases are driven by autogynephilia. That is when a man's sense of being sexually aroused at the thought of himself as a woman. And one, Debbie Hayton, who is a transgender herself, himself, anyway, said these disorders are not... What?
Itself. Just say itself.
Well, she's regretting it. She said this disorder, when they're linked to sexuality, can trigger negative emotions like shame, guilt, fear. People want to do that, so they deny the condition. And Debbie Hayden is a transgender, and she's saying that was her problem. She had that affliction, and she was trying to warn people that, you know, this is the case. Dr. Ray Blanchard is the one who came up with the term. He said acknowledging the existence of autogynephilia challenges the conceptualization of male-to-female transition as normal, ordinary women born in the wrong body, and it's a lot easier for them to believe that than saying, hey, you have a psychological disorder, a sexual problem where you get aroused at the thought of being a woman. And so this is where all these groups have switched from the truth to a fantasy. Oh, I was just born in the wrong body. That's why I want to be a woman. No, it's because it's a actual psychological disorder, AGP, and it is what drives the overwhelming majority of male-to-female transsexual cases. And it's documented by quite a few different experts around the world. Clear back in the 1980s when it was first coined. And if you go back and look, it was listed as a psychological disorder. So here again, we have money talks. The reason these people don't want to have to face the truth and go into therapy and treatment for a mental illness, it's now... excuse, I'm the victim. I was born in the wrong body.
And that's not really true.
Now that with women, the problem is kind of a more of a hysteria. What do they call it? Having a senior moment here.
Dysphoria.
Yeah, dysphoria. Gender dysphoria. Different doctors like Dr. Littman, one of the experts, he studied hundreds of these subjects, and he called these girls that want to become male, they are susceptible to a rapid onset gender dysphoria. And these teens, it's a phenomenon, and he calls it mostly driven by peer contagion. And you and I did some stories way back a long time ago when this was first happening, how one girl at school said, oh, she thought she was really a boy and wanted to, you know, become a boy. All of a sudden, six of her friends in her circle decided that they were transgender and wanted to be a boy.
We're up against a hard break, and we'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away. A lot more to come. Don't go away.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.